We are dealing with the subject of dominion because it's our year of supernatural dominion. Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our own image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Does it not surprise you that the moment God created man, the first thing he gave him was dominion? It shows you how important it is for you to have dominion. And we were teaching on Sunday, I said the word dominion is the word radar. And it means a couple of things. Number one, it means authority for governance, for rulership, and for reigning. How could God have entrusted the whole earth to us if we don't have the authority for governance? How do you regulate the animals? How do you regulate the many events, the sets of events that will take place? We surely would need it. That was why the first thing he gave us was dominion. Authority for governance, for rulership, and for reigning. Glory to God. In verse 28, and God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. You need power to govern the earth. You need power to rule over all the creatures of the earth. And you need power to reign above them. So that you are the standard, you are the reference. If they want to see God's glory, they check you out. If they want to see God's will, they check you out. If they want to understand God's ways, they look at you. You are the reference. Become the reference. Receive the authority to govern and to regulate the affairs. Receive power to rule over them, to keep them in order, in case they want to rebel. It's called dominion. That's what he gave us. And I said, that's not all. Dominion is also the power to prevail and to execute judgment. So that when creation or the creatures or circumstances rebel, you will not be handicapped. God didn't create you to find yourself in a position where you are helpless. Whatever turns against you, he has invested authority in your life to put everything where they belong. And it's not just in one small space. It's from sea to sea, from coast to coast. Glory to God. Dominion. It said in Psalm 66 verse 3, concerning God now, who is the author of dominion, he says, say unto God, how terrible are thy works? Art thou in thy works? Thou, he said, through the greatness of thy power, shall thy enemies submit themselves to thee. So, anything that rebels will not submit except as power is made manifest. And so God gave us dominion to prevail and to execute judgment. That's why I said even babes, he said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, he said, thou have ordained strength that thou mightest steal the avenger. So when we are here, circumstances can't rebel. Creation can't rebel because we have the authority to put them in their place. That's why your business can't fail. If it wants to go out of the lines of what you have planned, hey, stop there. You determine how it should go. It's called dominion. Things don't happen to you. You make things happen. Look at Jesus. He was in the boat sleeping. The sea began to rebel. Meanwhile, he was going to deliver somebody who was mad. And he got up. Hey, peace be still. The sea obeyed. The wind became calm. It's dominion. The power to prevail. Number three, we said dominion a functioning in the glorified realm of existence. Psalm 8, verse 4 to 8. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou did visit him? Is that for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels? The word angels there is the word Elohim. So he made him a little lower than God. He said, you crowned him with what? Glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. So dominion is to be crowned with glory. It's to function in the glorified realm. And many don't understand that we were created to function in the glorified realm. The glorified realm is the God class. It's the God's realm of existence. God shared his glory with us. That's why when we fell, it said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We were created to function in glory. But when Jesus came, he upgraded us. And I showed you that from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45 and 49. It said, the first man, Adam, was of the earth. And so he was earthy. Okay, the first Adam, it said he was made a living soul. It said the last Adam is the quickening spirit. Verse 47. John 46, go to 47. We don't have time. It said the first man is of the earth, so he was earthy. It said the second man is the Lord from heaven. And then verse 49, it said, as we have borne the image of the first, it said we should also bear the image of the last Adam. So the first Adam was a living soul. He was an earthly man. That's the first Adam. The last Adam, on the other hand, is a quickening spirit, is the Lord from heaven. So Paul is saying, we were a living soul. We were earthly beings. He said, but now we have come into the class of the quickening spirit. We have come into the class of lordship. And Jesus made it clear in John 17, 22. He said, the glory that you gave me, he said, I have given to them. Why? He said, that they may be one, even as we are one. So God gave us glory so we can come into his class. Every apostle knew this. Peter was speaking in 2 Peter 1 verse 4. If you begin from verse 3, it says, according as his divine power, he has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to what? To glory and virtue. So we were called to operate in glory and virtue. That's why Jesus came back, to bring you into glorified realm of existence. And in case you don't understand what he's saying, in verse 4, he said he has made us, my goodness, whereby had given us exceeding great and precious promises. He said, by this that we might become partakers of his divine nature. So anything short of God, you can't accept it. You were born to operate in his class. In Romans 8:29, it says, him that he foreknew, he predestinated. Him that he predestinated, he called. And he said, him that he called, he glorified. It didn't say he will glorify. Why do you think Jesus told us in John 14:12 that the works he did, we will do and do greater? Wouldn't that have been a setup? Except as everything he was, he mandated us to become. So dominion is operating in the God class. You can operate in the God class. The problem with us is that we are too conscious of our humanity. And we take pride in our humanity. I'm a proud Nigerian. If it's patriotism, that's fine. But I am more than a Nigerian. I am of the God kind. I am of the God order. I'm of the God class. Because there are many Nigerians that are defeated. There are many Nigerians that are weak. There are many Nigerians that will perish. But I come from a class of the divine. I operate in the God order. The things we do, not every Nigerian can do. I lay hands on the sick, they recover. I prosper on every side, regardless of the state of the government. Regardless of the state. This is not what I am cooking up. This is what the Bible says. I'm called to live in the God class. That's why I don't envy anybody from any nation. You can be a German, you can be an Italian, you can be a Canadian. Glory to God for you. But all of us humans,
who are in Christ have been brought to an elevated realm. And there's a realm beyond being an American. There's a realm beyond being a German. It is the realm of the new creation. It said all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And in verse 20, it said, now are we the ambassadors of Christ. So I represent Jesus. Anywhere Jesus wants to be, he sends me there. And when I come, what Jesus should have done, that's what I do. That's not a fit for a Nigerian. That's not a fit for an American. That's a fit for a new creation. One who is God. So whether you are German, French, Nigerian, Ghanaian, Zimbabwean, all of us must be elevated to come into Christ. Glory to God. That's dominion. So you operate like God. You function in the God class. He has made us to become partakers. Partakers. Look at yourself for a second and tell yourself, I'm a partaker. You know, most of us are not aware. We have quoted these scriptures, but we are not aware. That's why the things that can happen to Jesus, you allow them happen to you. Because you are not aware that as he is, so are you. Not in heaven, in this world. It's a realm of dominion. Functioning as a glorified being. Number four, I said dominion is a state of rest. It's a state of rest. Glory to Jesus. In Joshua 21:44, he said, and the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he swore unto their fathers. And he said, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered them from all their enemies. So dominion is a state of absolute control. Nothing pulls you down. Anybody who makes himself your enemy, you pity him. You are not praying to be helped. He is already an endangered species standing against you. Did you read? He said the house of Saul became weaker and weaker. And the house of David became stronger. The more they fight you, the more they are destroyed. It's dominion. You take charge anywhere you come. Glory to God. Matthew 11:28. He said, come to me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. So when we came to him, he gave us rest. He brought us dominion. This is where faith, the economy of faith, becomes very important. It's to put your trust in him because he is your victory. He is your strength. He is your ability. So when anybody wants to attack me, I'm at peace because he can get to me after he has finished with my God. But the last time I checked, even the earth had a commandment. Oh, ye earth, tremble at the presence of God. So nothing can contend with my God. Therefore, I'm at peace. It's called dominion. No matter how was Jesus sleeping in the storm? It's not this one that you have to pay house rent and you are dying. Your blood pressure is already 220 over 190. Even the machine calibration goes off range. No. Be at peace. The Bible said himself knew what he should do. And trust me, these are not cliches. When you study the life of Jesus, you will know that he was facing real circumstances. You have not been in the middle of a sea and the boat is shaking, about to sink. So we are not talking, this is not philosophy. These are real life situations. You have not been there before. You have not sat and you are in charge of over 5,000 men. And there's no food. And everybody is looking at you to provide. You have not been there before. But he was in charge. And because he was, he turned circumstances around. So dominion is control, capacity to change circumstances. And that's what God gave us. This is why you must master how to function in dominion. And finally, I told you dominion is relevance and influence. Psalm 92 verse 10. It says, my horn hast thou exalted as the horn of the unicorn. You have anointed me with fresh oil. So this is not just popularity. This is the capacity to shape the lives of men. To shape the destinies of men. Because of you, men make the right decision. So you can influence their thinking process. You can influence their decision-making process. And at the end of their lives, they are fulfilled. Because you didn't lead them astray. You led them into destiny. We have that capacity. Why do you think Jesus sent us into the world? In Matthew 28, verse 18 to 19, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He said, you go in that power and go into all the world and disciple them. So we have power for influence. And when you study the early church, they manifested this power in an extraordinary manner. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, it said, when Peter spake, they were pricked in their hearts. And in verse 41, it said 3,000 was added to the church. One speech, 3,000 people were converted. I'm talking influence. Peter again was going to the temple and saw a man that was lame from birth. Acts 3, verse 6. Silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The man started leaping, that's jumping, walking, entered the temple, praising God. Because of that miracle, in Acts 4, verse 4, 5,000 was influenced. So when they talk, thousands are influenced. When they act, thousands are influenced. Whatever they say or do influences men. It's called dominion. That's why I told you, it's an abomination to be barren in this era. We are in a dispensation of the manifestation of the power of God. Every one of us should take charge. Because it's something that God has put on our inside. Dominion. Dominion. And I told you, this dominion manifests in five spheres. Number one, I said it manifests over nature. We are given dominion to govern, to reign, to prevail, to control, to change, and to be influential over nature. So it's not just men. And you know, you need to become very deliberate about this. Because, like I was sharing with them in the prayer meeting yesterday, the systems of the world that are blessed because we are present are making the most of this mandate. For example, I told them, currently, medical science has taken responsibility over animals. So they are not just treating men and curing men of sickness. If a horse is sick, there is an aspect of science called veterinary medicine or animal science that deals with it. And then you go into animal husbandry, they are even manipulating animals to bring out greater capacities in them. So they hybridize crops, they hybridize animals, create hybrid products with greater propensity. And we are not even aware that we should do anything about nature. Meanwhile, Romans 8:19, the Bible said, the earnest expectation of creation is not waiting for astronauts. It's not waiting for medical science. It's not waiting for technologies. Instead, it's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. We are still here arguing whether miracles still happen. Whereas science is already dealing with animals, dealing with weather condition. You hear them talking about managing the depleted ozone layer. And we don't know that this is our end. So our irresponsibility is giving opportunity for other systems to go ahead. And these things we saw in scripture. In Joshua 10:12, Joshua spoke to the sun obeyed. He spoke to the moon obeyed. Let the sun remain upon the mountains of Gibeon and the moon upon the valley of Ajalon. And he said the sun did not make haste to go down. But what did he have that made him know he can doctor nature that we don't know? What did he have? What did these guys know that they knew they could manage? Imagine the way they function. Everybody was running from Gerar, Genesis 26. Because the way it looked, only Egypt was viable for crops. And suddenly, Isaac, on account of his encounter, stayed still in Gerar. And in the same year, he dominated the land where everybody was running from. What did he do to that soil? He dug well, water came out. Others dug, didn't find water. I'm talking dominion over nature. This is what God has given us. Please, Christianity is not just about church attendance and church activities. We have been empowered to showcase and to manifest the excellency of God in our respective spheres of influence. Jesus came to a wedding feast. Wine is finished. What's my business? The mother knew he had something. He had power to do something. The wine is out. Woman, it's not yet my time. Whatever he tells you to do, do. And he was not stranded. Fill the water jars with water. They filled it. John 2, from verse 1 to 11. Draw from it to the governor of the feast. And suddenly water became wine. There was no boat. He was not stranded. If there is boat, I will use it. But if there is no boat, I'm not stranded. At the fourth watch, he came walking on water. What did he tell the water? That it was able to carry him. I'm telling you, dominion. We have reduced Christianity to church activity. That's why all of us are fighting for titles. Meanwhile, the platforms we should dominate are the circumstances of life, the spheres of human endeavor. And we run from there to church and fight who we lead some, who we preach, who was ordained bishop, who was ordained apostle, who was ordained evangelist. You go dominate your world and see if you need an ordination of the presbytery. The whole world will come there and say, teach us the way to go. He said, Philip went down to Samaria. He preached Christ there. That's the deacon. The whole city rallied around him. The whole city. Today we begin with deacon, then pastor, then apostle, then bishop, then archbishop. If it's possible, we'll add pope. Yet, no dominion. A generation must wake up. In Romans 15:4, it said the things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. What were written? Women receive their dead back to life. So women ministry is not just to advise young ladies about marriage. It's part of it, but women receive their dead back to life. Do we still have such women ministry? Dominion over nature. Second sphere of dominion is dominion over the flesh. You come to a point where your emotions and feelings don't dictate to you. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, the just shall live by faith. We don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith, not by sensory perception. It's not our feelings that lead us. It's faith. The speakings of God. But if you don't have dominion over your flesh will dictate for you. And that's why many till date are struggling. They've not mastered the flesh. Dominion is to master the flesh. Four times in addition to this. Habakkuk 2:4. Romans 1:17. Galatians 6:9. Hebrews 10:38. And the just shall live by faith. And the just shall live by faith. Not by feeling. But most of us live by faith. No discernment, no faith. That's why we have no dominion. Who is the perfect man? James 3:2. Him that has rule over his tongue. That's dominion. I may feel it. It does not mean it's the will of God. And if it's not the will of God, even if I feel it, I won't do it. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:1, he said, arm yourself with this mindset that Jesus had. For he suffered in the flesh. And he said, whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sinning. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27. I beat my body. I bring it under subjection. So they have power over their flesh. But we pamper the flesh. Somebody is overtaken by lust. He goes to look for masturbation, pornographic content. And then when he falls, he comes back, he's crying. If you know lust is attacking you, get a brother who is on fire. Talk the word of God. Pray. Be filled with the Spirit. The moment you are filled with the Spirit, you will multiply flesh. Because the Bible said in Galatians 5:16, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not satisfy the desires of the flesh. So you know when to switch to the Spirit so that flesh is mortified. Romans 8:13 said, if we live after the flesh, we shall die. We can't reign. It said, but if we, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the flesh, we shall live. So there is dominion over flesh. It's not everybody that is lying. It's not everybody that is masturbating. It's not everybody that is fornicating. So don't make the mistake of thinking, hey, all of us are sinning. You are joking. When you go to heaven, you'll be shocked that there are men with pure garments. So don't glorify flesh. Strive to conquer flesh. He said, whoever is in Christ has crucified the flesh. Don't give it room anymore. Don't give flesh occasion. Have dominion over flesh. Number three, we spoke about dominion over finances. We have a kingdom to sponsor. We can't afford to depend on the stipends from government to sponsor kingdom. We need supernatural means of sustenance. And our God is able to. If he isn't, Jesus won't ask us to depend on him. In Matthew 6 from verse 9, when he taught the Lord's Prayer, he said, pray after this manner, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11, give us this day what we require. So if God does not bless, if God does not empower, Jesus won't ask us to ask him. And we saw in scripture how he sustained people, even in the wilderness. He said he gave them manna from heaven. He suffered no man to do them wrong. He rebuked kings for their sake. Touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. Even waters, the Bible said, he caused waters to come out of the rock for them. He cleaved the rock also, and the waters came out. So we have a God that empowers us to dominate resources. In Deuteronomy 8:17, he said, don't say, it is by the power of my hands that I've gotten all these things. Don't say so. Don't say in thy heart, my power and my might, or the might of my hands have given me this wealth. No. He said, but thou shall remember the Lord thy God. It is him that giveth thee power to get wealth. And I told them in the prayer meeting yesterday, God does not give money. He can. But he wouldn't do that because it's not consistent with his character. He wants us to walk. Genesis 2:15, when he made the man, he put him in the garden to dress and keep it. Because walking is not just about food, it's about becoming. The word walk in its original sense is the word ergon. It means become. So when you walk, you participate with God. You are his workmanship for good work, created for good work. So you participate with God to become. So walk is not about daily bread. Walk is about becoming. That's why God won't give you money. He wants you to walk so that you learn wisdom, you learn experience, you learn tenacity, you learn character, and become. But that does not mean God can't bless you. So he can bless you through the works of your hand, but he can also bless you by giving you power to get wealth. And what is that power? I told you, wisdom is one of them. So you have ideas that others don't have. I told you, favor is one of them. God gave favor to the Israelites. Deuteronomy 12:36, despoiled the Egyptians. So things that others labor for come to you by free course. I told you, it's through opportunities. He said, the lion shall fall unto me in pleasant places. God can get you to meet someone that can open a door for you, and you will enter a prosperity that you have not attained. I shared with them a testimony. What was that testimony? A brother came here, indebted. Prayed for him. He left. That day, from that day, within 2 weeks, he met somebody that linked him with 2 governors. Linked him with one of the major patriarchs of the faith in Nigeria, based in Lagos. And also connected him with somebody in the presidency. In 2 weeks, they told him to supply trucks of rice and beans because he deals in grains. They were in my office. I asked him, what did you make in 2 weeks? He said, 700 million. God didn't throw money into his bedroom. But they connected him with someone that connects. It's called the power to get wealth. See, don't make the mistake. You can sit with somebody who can change your story. If that power is not on you, he won't see you. All the men who are lifting people up, you think they don't have relatives? So that somebody is even your relative is not a factor. Some of you listening to me now, you have relatives that are billionaires. Relatives that know people who matter. You have called them, you have sent messages. They don't remember. Even if they say they want to help you, something stops them. But when the power to get wealth comes upon your life, even when they are sleeping, they will wake up. They can't sleep. That's how God works. He may not throw money at you, but he will give you the power to get wealth. Because you need dominion in finances. And I said dominion in finances is not having enough to eat and drink. If it's for your life, be contented with that. If you have what to eat, if you have what to drink, if you have raiment, if you have where to put your head, be contented. But see, if you want to advance kingdom, you need more than that. Because cry out loud, my kingdom through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. So you need financial dominion. And I gave you some illustrations yesterday, on Sunday now, from Job 20, 22 to 25. He said, acquaint now thyself. Go to 21. Job 22, verse 20 to 25. We hail you, Most High. Go to 21. We hail you. We worship you. We hail you, Most High. It said, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. He said, thereby good shall come unto thee. Next verse. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth. Lay up his words in thine heart. He said, if thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. And thou shalt put away iniquity from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust. That's dominion. This is financial dominion. You shall lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brook. When God blesses you, he can create a system through you to make these possibilities. It can be wisdom for great ideas, for witty inventions. It can be lines falling onto you in pleasant places or doors of opportunity. It can be connections with the right people that opens the right doors. Anything is possible. But it will bring you to a place where money to sponsor God's agenda and to fulfill your dreams won't be a prayer point. That's financial dominion. You'll come to a point where the resources to push your dreams and the resources to advance God's kingdom is not a prayer point. I read for us from Amos 9, 13 to 15. If you get that in the message, project it, because that's the best rendering. Yes, indeed, it won't be long. God's decree. He said things are going to happen so fast. He said your head will spin, swing. Man, the scriptures can be poetic. You know what? Things are happening from everywhere. You are like, come on. What's going on here? Do you know why the Bible said in 3 John? I think that's 3 John verse 2, right? Where it said,
Project that scripture first. We'll come back here. Oh, God of mercy. Give me that one in KJV. If they, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. That means God won't bless you with resources more than you know Him. So God tries to benchmark the things that come into your life with the level of the prosperity of your soul. If not, if He releases the full weight of His blessings, you will become idolatrous. Do you know what it means when it says your head has spinning? That's why the Holy Ghost is insisting on you knowing Him, dying to see Him, dying to self, dying to flesh, so that it can open the door for what you can handle. There is so much God wants to give you, but you can't handle it. It said in Galatians 4:1, the heir, so long as it's a child, is not different from a servant. Some of you seated here, God wants to give you 1 billion. But if you get 1 billion, you won't come for prayer meeting again. I'm telling you. So He will wait, He will suspend that opportunity, He will suspend that idea, He will suspend that connection until you know Him to a level where your soul has conquered 1 billion. Then casually, He gives you an idea. He opens the door. He creates a contact with somebody. He opens the door. The blessing was not the issue. How much of Him you know was the challenge. He said He has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge. So if you want more financial blessing, know Him more. If it's by Him you want to prosper. This is where you shut down materialism from prosperity. You see the process Job took us through. He said, acquaint yourself with Him. Put His word in your heart. You are built up. You remove iniquity from your tabernacle. Then you lay off gold and stuff. He didn't begin with laying off gold. So, God can give us empowerment over resources. Your head will spin. He said, one thing will be on the heels of the other. That means before one blessing finishes, another one comes. He said, it will overtake you. And you will not have room to contain it. I want that level of blessing. It's called dominion. If I have that, I can do 20 crusades in 1 year. I can. I can create systems to empower youth. There are millions of young people following us. Sometimes when I see them, I just pray for God to bless them. There are ideas on what to do to help them. I can open the gate of agriculture. I can open the gate of career development. I can open the gate of ICT, cyber security. I can open the gates of real estate. There are many things I can do to empower young people. But it takes financial dominion for it to happen. Glory to God. That's why God wants to give us deep realm of authority. Then, number 4, we said dominion is over circumstances. If circumstances overwhelm you, you don't have dominion. It's one realm to endure circumstances. That's a power in itself. But it's another realm to be able to change circumstances. You must have both to function in dominion over circumstances. Don't be that faint-hearted, feeble-hearted person that anything that hits you breaks you. No! It's like if you faint in the day of trouble, it means your strength is little. We should be able to stand through crisis. And so when you go through the waters, you will not be drowned. Go through the fire. So we should have capacity to go through the fire. It's resilience. That's what James spoke about in James 1 verse 2 to 4. It said, count it all joy when you go through diverse temptations. In verse 3, it said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And it doesn't stop there. He said, patient to have a perfect work, and you might be perfect wanting nothing. So you come to a realm of dominion where nothing moves you. Like Paul, you can say, I have mastered how to abound and to abase. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's dominion. Men who can stand in the fire. The Hebrew boys
in Daniel 3:17 said, "O king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Our God is able to save us, and he will. But even if he does it, we will not bow. We have been tampered with to be able to survive fire." That's dominion. See, there are many Christians today, any little thing that happens to them, they say, "God is not real. If he is real, if God is there, why did this happen?" He is called Lord. As Lord, if you don't see his power, rely on his wisdom. That's what lordship means. Because there are many things happening to you now, they were concluded before the foundations of the world. Imagine the life of Job. The guy knew, even if he slays me, I will not despise him. He never knew that there was a contest going in the heavens, that this man loved me beyond money. This man loved me beyond the blessings I gave him. Satan was competing with God. Job does not love you for nothing. It's because you gave him money, that's why he loves you. Now take that money, let's see if he will change his mind. Imagine if Job changed his mind. Imagine the disappointment it would have been. So dominion over circumstances first is to be able to stand whatever affliction you go through. But it doesn't stop there. Because there is a time when affliction should stop. And not every affliction was permitted by God. Some affliction came through the rebellion of Satan. So you should be able to discern if the hand of God is in it. The capacity to stand. If the hand of God is not there, stop it. The Bible said, "Weeping endures for the night." It says, "Joy comes in the morning." Your morning must come. And morning is not the night. Between night and morning is not 12 hours. It says, our light affliction are but for what? A moment. So if Satan wants to afflict you, it is not permitted to exceed the moment. Now, I am moved, I prophesy over someone. Whatever affliction that has kept you captive, they break now. Ought not this woman, being the daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound these 18 years, be let loose? Woman, thou art loose. And immediately she stood up. That is lumbar spondylosis combined with scoliosis and kyphosis. Bones bent, swollen. Stand up. And she stood up. I'm talking dominion here. If you were here, our brother would not have died. Oh, in 4 days, his brain is decayed. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Whoever believeth in me shall not die. And even if he were dead, he will live again. Lazarus, come forth. Say, he that was dead came back to life. Power to change the course. See, we cannot be intimidated, helpless in the face of problems. We don't have dominion. If that happens. See, when there is problem and they call on you, show up like a carrier of divine authority. I'm a heavenly executioner. I'm an ambassador of heaven. I'm a witness of Christ. Listen, we preach, but we are not primarily preachers. We just witness through preaching. Who we are is witnesses. That means anywhere we come, we prove and validate what God claims by the power of the Holy Ghost. Authority over circumstances. Did you read your Bible? This is why you need to read. This is why you need to study the Word of God. It says, for this cause, Ephesians 1:17, I bow my knees to the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him,
It said that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of your calling, of his calling on you, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And this is where I got crazy. And the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the workings of his mighty power. If you check this scripture, you'll find exousia, dunamis, and megatus. That's both authority, inherent power in unquantifiable proportion. So dunamis in unquantifiable proportion, exousia in unquantifiable proportion, and see what he compelled it to. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So when we talk change in circumstance, we are talking every contrary circumstance in your life, from sickness to stagnation to poverty to failure, everything, then even death. So this power is a resurrection power. So even death is a circumstance that we can change. And it didn't stop there. He said after he demonstrated it, he now predestined him far above principalities and powers and dominion and every name that is named, be it in this world or in the world that is to come. So anything that has a name, you are permitted to dominate it, so long as it's not man or God. See, settle on these messages. Listen to them until your mind open to be able to accommodate them. Don't be intimidated. You go to the hospital, they tell you, you have malignant cancer. And then you are finished. Oh, you are not finished. You are not finished. Whatever it is called, you have authority to rule over it. And if it's not real to you, you will never manifest it. Because there are protocols for spiritual manifestation. That's why you must sit on this thing. It doesn't matter for how long. Oh, it happened to your great grandfather. It happened to your grandfather. It happened to your father. Not me. I came to stop it. I came to stop it. Because I have something that they don't have. Dominion. Dominion. They look at you. They say, Kai, the way we are looking at you, your womb can't carry a child. You don't have a womb. Did the womb create itself? I deal with the one who created the womb. So if it was bad, it will be corrected. If it is not there, a new one will be created. In the name of Jesus, every circumstance defining your faith, they go down now. Down for a moment. Finally, I said you exercise dominion over Satan and over every demonic entity. Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power. The word behold is critical. It means become aware. It's eido. Become. Because if you are not aware, you won't walk in the power. Don't just quote the scripture. The scripture is not for you to quote. It's an awareness for you to enter. Behold, I give unto you what? Power. To tread. That means to dominate. Every serpent and scorpion. As if that's not enough. And over all the power of the enemy. So,
anything that constitutes the power of Satan. He said you have authority to tread upon it. This is what the missionaries knew. When they came to Africa, we need land for church. They said the only one we have is Evil Forest. Go and take it. And they went there, cleared the grass, built churches. Today, we don't go to Evil Forest. They either call our name and we die. How could they call your name into a shrine? And you came there, the carrier of the Holy Ghost, the shrine didn't burn. If you call my name into any shrine, it will go down. Because I am aware, the power is in behold. Many Christians are not aware. When you preach, some people say, wisdom is profitable to direct. And their idea of wisdom is to run from Satan. If we are to run from Satan, how can we disciple the world? This is January 21st, 2025. I've already been in Manchester. I've been to London. I've been to Port Harcourt. I've been to Central Region in Ghana. All manifesting the power of God. If I'm to run from Satan, how many places can I go in 1 year? No regard whether they are national demons or international demons or territorial demons. In my name, cast out devils. In my name, cast out devils. In my name, cast out devils. Come on! Is that the name of the Lord? Is a strong power. The righteous runneth therein and they are saved. The righteous runneth therein and they are saved. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Ah! Somebody shout! And he said,
generation, generation,
after generation,
you, keep praising you. No one comes to you. Then I ask the Lord, what name fits you?
And he said, yeah. Give the Lord a shout. Listen, I am not saying Satan won't fight. When they told Moses to go to Pharaoh, he knew there were wise men of Pharaoh. When Moses dropped his rod and it became a serpent, the wise men of Pharaoh did the same. But the testimony is that the rod of Aaron swallowed theirs. So they are permitted to come with all their powers. It's already written. No weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. And in the name of Jesus, you cast out devils. I taught you already. Jesus disarmed Satan. Colossians 2:14. He transferred you from the kingdom of Satan. Colossians 2:12 and 13. And then he gave you the authority to destroy Satan. Mark 16:17. So Satan was disarmed. You were taken from his government and you were enthroned in the government over him. That's why he needs fear and deception to enslave you. But somebody knows better. Give the Lord a big hand. Dominion over nature. Dominion over flesh. Dominion over finances. Dominion over circumstances. And dominion over Satan. Sit down. Now, I took time to outline the triggers of dominion. And so tonight, I want to deal with one. I'm about to start the message. I'm just giving foundation. You know, we are raising stones here. You must build capacity to sit under the word for at least 2 hours. All this word of people's attention level is 30 minutes. After 30 minutes, we will keep you for 2 hours. Even if you are sleeping, sleep. Paul was teaching. Eutychus slept, fell down and died. They brought him up and teaching continued. In the early church, they taught the word for as long as 6-7 hours. That's why they are strong. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to keep you and to give you an inheritance amongst them which are sanctified. This is why it's an apostolic center. So don't come and hear 25 minutes word and then we start prophesying and you are taking. No, you must be built up. Acquaint now thyself with the Almighty. Lay up his walls in your heart. Then you shall be built up. Then you shall remove iniquity from your tabernacles. Then you shall lay up gold as dust. It doesn't begin with be blessed, be blessed. No, acquaint yourself with it. Lay his word in your heart. Be built up. Take iniquity from your tabernacle. Before we talk about whether you want healing or prosperity. Glory to God. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Why do you think we do our meetings in the evening? You have finished your day. There's nothing else you are thinking of. When you chew the word, go home, pray and sleep, and enter encounter. That's why we meet in the evening. Glory to God. So, if you like, do like this, do like this. Stand up, go. If it's one person, I'll still be preaching. You can't pressure me into 25 minutes sermon. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Sit down. You think me, I don't know how to do 3 services. I can do one in the morning, do one in the afternoon, do one in the evening. So that everybody will come. But we are not looking for everybody. If you can't narrow yourself into the program, then connect from somewhere else. But those who come here must become some. In the name of Jesus. So tonight, I'm dealing with dominion through grace. We are dealing with how to walk in dominion by the force or the instrumentality of grace. So very quickly, what is grace? John 1, verse 14 to 16. Or let's begin from verse 10. Verse 10 to 16. John 1, verse 10 to 16. Now, this scripture is talking about Jesus. It began from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. So, that's the person he's talking about. So, he came to verse 10. And he began to talk to us about this word that was God. And he said, he was in the world. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He said, he came unto his own. His own received him not. He said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that call on his name. He said, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14 is my emphasis. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld
His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was what? The only begotten of the Father. And He was full of what? Grace and truth. So when we want to understand what grace is, we must understand the person. Because the person is the embodiment of grace. So if you ask, what is grace? Grace is a person. And the name of that person is Jesus. He is the embodiment of grace. He is grace personified. That's why when you read your Bible, you can see that you were saved through grace. And you can see that you were saved by Christ. Grace is a person. So when we talk about manifesting grace, we're actually talking about manifesting Christ. When we talk about preaching grace, we're actually talking about preaching Christ. Because grace is not a thing. Primarily speaking, grace is a person. So when we say dominion by grace, we are talking dominion by Christ. That means ruling, reigning, prevailing, resting, influencing by Christ. That's what we are saying. So the first definition of grace is that grace is a person of His fullness. Verse 16 now says, have we all received of His fullness? It didn't say from Him or from His fullness. So He is grace personified. It said, and of His fullness have we all received grace heaped upon grace. So He's a person. Number two, what is grace? Grace is a spiritual reality. It's not a natural thing, it's a supernatural thing. So it's a spiritual reality. And this spiritual reality is expressed in the likeness of mercy, or merited favor, or divine ability. It's a spiritual reality expressed in the likeness of mercy, or merited favor, or divine ability. Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5. You are going to see the mercy expression of grace. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sin, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So, the expression of grace is mercy. This is why when you find people who carry grace, it is manifested in the similitude or the likeness of mercy. That's why you can't explain sometimes. Somebody you think that by now he should have been destroyed, he should have been condemned, he should have been judged. God gives him a long rope until he repents and God starts doing mighty things. It's grace at work. That's why you shouldn't waste your time waiting for the downfall of anybody. You don't know the measure of grace he carries. And that's why you shouldn't copy the iniquity of anybody. Because you don't know the grace at work in the person's life. A pastor may be stealing money, and God gives him mercy for 10 years before he repents. You see him and say, oh, is this the way? The first time you steal, you will be caught and your ministry will be ended. Your friends are in the university. Friday, they say, clubbing. They go clubbing. They come back Saturday morning. You know that they are fornicating. You now join them. The first time you slept out, you came back with HIV. Don't bother yourself about others and don't copy others who are in error. Because you don't know the expression of grace on their lives. It is mercy at work. And then it's also unmerited favor. And of course, you know the clearest expression of unmerited favor is salvation. The Bible said in Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it's not like we became reasonable and turned from sin. No, while we were yet sinners. While all we deserved was judgment. James 2:13 said, mercy prevails over judgment. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Romans 5, 8. But what did he come to do? To give us a favor that we don't merit. So salvation is a favor that we don't merit. The wages of sin is death. Every one of us deserve death. Romans 6, 23. But instead of death, he gave us life. It's an unmerited favor. And so if you study Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, where we just read, you see that another component was added. It said, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God. If you read verse 9, he added again, not of your works, lest any man should boast. So you didn't earn it. It was unmerited. This is why when a man carries grace, protocols are broken for him. So when we talk dominion, it's not all about hard work. There's a place of work, and that work is in grace, but it's also about a favor that you don't merit. Listen to me, sir. If you think you will make impact by your hard work, you are joking. There is place for hard work and diligence, but everybody who is shaking this world, there is a component of their life they can't explain. And I can tell you that for myself personally. You are shaking nature, you tame flesh, you are ruling finances, ruling over circumstances, ruling over demons. There are measures that you don't qualify for that was allocated. Sometimes people come here, I'm tired. I pray for them out of the responsibility that I'm a preacher. And they come back with mind-blowing testimonies. The other day we did a healing workshop. A friend of mine came from Uganda. Because he was the one ministering, I pedestaled him. I didn't even prepare. I'm not the one ministering. I came to sit. So when time came to pray, I was channeling people. He was praying for people. And people were being healed. A young couple with their child, I don't know if it's a lady now, I forgot it, came and said they want me to pray for the... What kind of problem is this? This is the vessel God has prepared for this meeting. He's there ministering. Go there. Say no. They feel led. Lord, have mercy. Take this infirmity away. And I left. They came back the next day with test result. Genotype. Change from SS to AS. If I knew it was genotype issue, I wouldn't have prayed. Genotype what? At this flat level of faith? But that's how grace works. It goes beyond your weaknesses. So you don't merit it. That's why I said we have this treasure in 18 vessels. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. That the excellency might be of God and not of man. That's unmerited favor. That's grace at work. Those of you who think that I must qualify for it, I must work for it, you will frustrate grace. And I will show you grace empowers us to labor. 1 Corinthians 15, 10, Paul says, I labor more than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God. But that is the ability of God at work in you. If you are thinking, I must do something to qualify, that means you are trying to take the glory that belongs to Jesus. You must know the difference. And that's why, after you have prepared, trust God for His grace to glorify you. You are going for an interview, 200 other people are coming. More than 100 are more qualified than you. So you need to know that beyond your abilities and credentials, something of God must make the difference. That's where grace comes in. And this is why you must master how to operate in grace. If you will dominate. I know there are people who preach better than me. 1,000 times more. God has not given me a voice because I merit it. It's His grace that has exalted me. Even in this congregation, some people carry the microphone and when they start tearing the Bible, I'm writing and writing and writing non-stop. Sometimes when they are just leading prayers, I'm so blessed. They are just leading prayers. They quote 2-3 scriptures and I'm like, my God, my God, my God. Something wells up on my inside. So you are not leading because you are the best. You are leading because the grace is on you. You will not dominate because you are the best. You will dominate because the grace is on your life. And if you know this, you will stop looking at yourself. Most of you have not made any progress in your life because every time you stand in front of the mirror, you are judging your infirmities. How can someone like me be the one? How can I do this? Look at this fault. Look at this. That's why grace came. It said the eyes of the Lord move to and fro the earth. What is he looking out for? For your weakness so that he can magnify his strength or manifest his strength. So you have infirmities. Glory to God. That becomes a platform. It will help you to rely on grace much more. Grace is the reality. And that reality expresses itself in form of mercy. It expresses itself in form of unmerited favor. And it expresses itself in form of the ability of God. Some of you are here. You have been fasting for 3 months. It's not discipline. No. Discipline is good. But it has where it stops. Those who know me, they know. There was a period of my life where for 5 years, I was living a fasted life. Wake up in the morning, I think of food in the evening. This is not a conscious effort. I want to fast. No. It was just a body. I was rounding up that fast when I was doing my master's with Pastor Godwin. He used to bring sweet for me. It looked like my intestines were decayed. Say, take tantrum and be chewing. But I couldn't eat. His grace is the ability of God. When he mantles you, you will do extraordinary feats for God. And most times when God wants to prepare you for destiny, he injects grace into your life. So that the ability of God will take over. How do you think we lay hands on the deaf? Lay hands on the blind. Somebody has tumor, you say, be healed. That means what you are doing is beyond what you are saying. There is the energy of God on the inside. That's grace. So you must recognize it so that you can walk in it. It's the ability of God. If I have to fast for 40 days now, consciously maintaining time, it will be discipline. I still live fasting. Those who live with me will tell you, you'll never catch me eating before afternoon. And I can't even eat much anymore. But if I say fast 6 to 6 for 40 days, I will need discipline. But there was a time when I was going months. Maybe I break once, and it was like that for years. It was the ability of God. It's grace. You think Samson just wakes up, carries the gate of a city? The gate of a city on his shoulders. And climbs a mountain. No man can do that. Not even Samson. That's why when that thing lifted, the Bible said he shook himself as at other times. He was weak. So Samson was a weak man. It was grace that found expression through him. That means when grace comes on a man, he can carry the gate of a city. With the jawbone of an ass, he slew 1,000 men. That means the grace of God, operating as the ability of God, can make you stronger than 1,000 men. So you can do what 1,000 men cannot do. That's the ability of God. It's the grace of God. Paul said, I labor more than they all. He said, yet not I. 1 Corinthians 15:10. The grace of God. You know, most of us, we try to do even spiritual things by human abilities. So the guy is going to preach somewhere. He sharpens his tongue, relies on his eloquence. When I go there, I'm going to speak like this and like that. Then he goes for the meeting. The first 10 people in front are professors of linguistics. Your ability is good. Develop yourself. Refine yourself. But don't trust your abilities. He said, woe unto him that puts his trust in the arm of flesh. The reason most of us are failures is because we trust our abilities. And the moment spirits come in, we become disadvantaged. Grace is the reality. Manifesting in form of mercy, in form of unmerited favor, and in form of divine ability. I don't know about you, but me, I know I'll be blessed every day.
I'm not doing anything in my life that will warrant me being blessed every day. But I look forward to every day blessing because the grace of God is there. Today, some people were waiting for me for more than 3 hours. I was so tired. I walked and walked and walked and slept up. Woke up, walked and slept. So when I wanted to stand up, I couldn't. My whole body, I said, Kai, Ogaret. And I slept. When I eventually came to the office, they were so happy to see me. And I prayed for the brother. And he left me with what some of you will earn in 2 years. Hear this. There are more than 2 million pastors in Nigeria. Why am I the only one he came for? Only grace can explain it. So it's not about being a pastor. It's about grace. Unmerited favor. Some people just look at you. They say, sir, God told me to bless you. I say, amen. I love that prophetic direction. And I receive it very regularly. Somebody will look for my number for 2 weeks. When he eventually gets me, say, the Lord told me to bless you. And sometimes I'm wondering, does this man know how many pastors there are in Nigeria? Now, sometimes when you are even preaching, you are quoting some pastors and you are saying they are greater than you. See, the people are not hearing what you are saying. You are the one God says you blessed. So it's not about how many people are doing the business. There can be 10,000 real estate experts. There can be 1,000 agricultural experts. There can be 500 businessmen. But you are the one that the grace of God has set apart. So don't be perturbed. We are many. It doesn't matter. How many carry grace and what's the grace of my life? That's what makes the difference. Finally, grace is a dispensation. I'm showing you this so that you will have the resolve that I can say, I must dominate. So it's not just a person that lives inside me. It's also a reality that expresses itself through me. And it's not just a reality that expresses itself through me. It's a dispensation I'm working under. There was a dispensation called the law. Where all they had to work for it. We have left that dispensation. We still work. I told you, working is not just about having, it's about becoming. The word is ergon, become. So God will never remove work. But there are things we have that we don't have to work for. Because we are under a dispensation now where we receive things by grace. In John 1:17, he said the law was given by Moses. He said, but grace came by Jesus Christ. It's a dispensation. Ephesians 3:2, Paul was speaking. He said, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me towards you. So Paul didn't just know that he was walking in that dispensation. He knew he carried that dispensation. What a mentality. So we are walking in the dispensation of grace. That's why you must prosper, sir. That's why you must be impactful. Because it's either Christ in you, the hope of glory, is moving you forward, or the realities of grace in the likeness of mercy, or merited favor, or the ability of God is at work, or because you are in that dispensation. Now, when you are in a plane, do you need to jump to go high? The plane has the capacity to take you high. The labor is not with you. You sit down and relax. Let the plane move. And those of you who fly Dreamliners, you know sometimes it's 43,000 feet above sea level. There's no jumping you can jump that will take you there. But when you enter the plane, relax. A Rolls Royce engine is powering you. You just sleep and go high. And you are not just high, you are moving. Sometimes when you see the speedometer or the speed of this place, over 850 something miles per hour. So a journey that you will take for 6 months, you'll make in 4 hours. That's grace at work. It's a dispensation. When you came into the dispensation of grace, you were enabled and facilitated. So the same way a journey of 6 months can be done in 4 hours because I'm in an aircraft, that's how a destiny that will take a million years to fulfill can be fulfilled in 10 years through me. It's a dispensation. Check out Jesus. Did ministry for 3.5 years. Was impactful more than all the prophets. That's grace at work. I prophesy over someone. You will begin to see the reality of grace. See, this is why, don't look at your life and say, it took me 15 years to build this house. Maybe in another 15 years, I'll build another. You are joking. You may build one house in 15 years, and you can build 15 houses in 1 year. That's the substitution of grace. It may take you 10 years of process in the cave, but in 3 months, the nations can come to you. That's the operation of grace. I sat in my house 17 days, more than 15 invitations from 15 nations. And I asked myself, I've been preaching. What is the difference? A dispensation has come. There was a time when process put me in a secondary school. Teach here. I want to teach you patience. I want to teach you to care for people. I want to teach you tolerance. I want to give you the capacity to help people understand. So I taught physics. I taught mathematics. I taught quarter maths. I taught chemistry. After talking for 14 hours, sometimes they pay me 20,000. But suddenly, a dispensation opened. A dispensation opened. I will sit down in 2 weeks and get what I couldn't get in 2 years. There was a time when you will preach out your liver. Only 20 people will hear. Now, if I cough, hundreds of thousands of people hear. They want to hear. Put my name on anything, it must say. It's a dispensation. And it's not for me as an individual. It's for every one of us who is born of God. Because when we came into Christ, we came into that dispensation. I prophesy over someone. From today, let grace set you apart. See, this is why you cannot do anything small. Look at the apostles, sir. Before their time, if you had 400 people, it was a big achievement. In fact, they kept singing Moses, Moses, Moses. He was the only man who led people in millions. So he was a unique prophet. He gave them the law. A unique prophet. But when the era of grace came, the Bible said, the least of us is greater than all of them. So one man can take a city and it's normal. Philip will go to Samaria and take the city. How can you be in Maraba and you have not imparted Maraba? You are in Gwagwalada, you are saying, it's easy, it's easy. Gwagwalada, that if you shout, 10,000 people hear. The problem is that you are looking at yourself. You don't know there is something on your inside. But as you leave this service from today, you will know Christ in you is the hope of glory. The ability of God is on your inside. You don't function by your abilities anymore. You function by divine ability. Somebody came to me and said, man of God, I love the fact that you preach deep things. I love the fact that you can explain the word of God and people see it. He said, but what moves me most about you is your audacity. I said, it's because I don't look at myself. I look at the one on my inside. I don't talk from my strength. I talk from the strength of Jesus. He sent me. Glory to God. As you leave this service, you will hate failure. You will hate smallness. Impact will become your byproduct. So grace is the person. Grace is the reality. And grace is a dispensation. Now let's look at the aspects of grace. Because when this reality
And when this dispensation is at work in your life, there are aspects of its operation. Number one, the first aspect is the saving aspect. Because grace met all of us when we were helpless. We couldn't save ourselves. So the first thing, or the first errand of grace in our lives is to save us. We all needed it for salvation. So Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, by grace are you saved. By grace are you saved. Not of yourself. It is the gift of God. In verse 9, it says you didn't work for it, so you can't boast about it. So the first errand of grace, or the first aspect of the operation of grace, is to bring salvation. Titus 2:11, it says the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared. Now, make no mistakes about it. This salvation is from sin and the messianic judgment. But it's not only about that. Did you get the point? The saving power of grace is from sin and what? The messianic judgment. But it's beyond that. So grace did not just come to save you from sin and from the judgment of God. Yes, that's the primary errand. But over and above that, grace saves you from every danger and every destruction. The reason you can be in a bus and not die is because of grace. That's why you must master the operation of grace. Number one, I won't be in that bus. But in case I'm there, one person must survive. And the name of that person is Mike. If you like, don't put your name there. I can never be an endangered species. Somewhere, somehow, grace will find. How do you think the apostles of old survived? Look at 2 Corinthians 11:25. See some of the things that happened to Paul. How did they survive? There was something in them that saved them from destruction. He said, thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. They stoned him until he became unconscious. When they stone you those days, it's not a get out. They packed huge stones and they stoned you to death. When they stoned him to they left him for dead, the brethren came, Paul stood up, said, let's go to the next city. There's work to be done. He didn't say, let's go to the hospital. How did he survive? I'm talking greater. He said, thrice I suffered shipwreck. That's like being in a plane crash 3 times. When the plane crashed, everybody's dead. You came out. Say, Lord, next time, let them be saved. You are not praying for yourself. You can't die. Did you read your Bible? It said, the Lord whom I serve and whose I am was by me yesterday. He said, there shall be no loss of life except for the sheep. So when the ship wrecked, everybody survived because Paul is there. I'm talking power to save. He said, nobody. The captain wanted to kill the criminals in case they escaped. He said, don't worry, nobody will die. I'm here. Christians shouldn't pray some prayers. He said, 1,000 shall fall by your side, 10,000 by your right hand. It shall not come near you. With your eyes, you shall see. And behold, the reward of the wicked. We don't die cheaply, sir. Things don't happen to us. It can happen to a million people. We will come out. You know what it means? 1,000, 10,000, one day. That's 11,000 attacks. 11,000 people can go down. You will stand. You think that's natural? There's no strategy that can work that level of safety. It said, I was in a shipwreck. 2 Corinthians 11:25. The one that touched me the most is the last one. He said, a night and a day I have been in the deep. Some new version said his boat was drifting. That means no control. But this is deeper than boat drifting. The guy fell into water and came out. He didn't die. There is a power to save that is at work in your life. You don't die by accident, sir. You don't die by coincidence. See, hear me. I can pray for you. I can prophesy over you. But you must be conscious of these things first. It's not all the time you can catch the prophecy. There are times when we prophesy. Out of 300 people, only 2 catch it. There are times when we pray. Out of 300 people, only 10 have faith to receive it. But if you are conscious that the grace of God on my life saves, even if there is no prophecy, even if there is no prayer, you can't be a victim. That's why of all God gives, the greatest is His word. That's the grace on your life. You must know, like you know your name, that people like you don't end up in destruction. The psalmist said, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? You go and study the meaning of the valley of the shadow of death. The guy knew no destruction can come to him. There is something that keeps him, God's presence. And you don't just have God's presence. There is a saving grace on your life. This is why you will dominate. And see, there's a level you know it to. You now know that you are not just safe. Nothing under your care can be destroyed. So they are saying ministries are failing. You say, not mine. Businesses are failing. No, not mine. He said, whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth, whatsoever, your business can fail. The grace of God on your life will sustain your business. Your career can't just end. The grace of God on your life will sustain your career. Grace comes to save. Number 2 aspect of the operation of grace is for sustenance. Grace sustains. This is the only reason that you can live for God without shame or reproach is grace. There are many forces that will come to make you faint on the way. Why you will go to the end living for God is grace. Paul said, I continued to this day because the Lord helped me. That's why I tell you guys here, anybody you see standing is standing because he's helped. Grace sustains us. It keeps us to keep living for God. Do you know the attacks on you? On your faith? Through circumstances? Through wicked men? The thing some of us went through. I shouldn't be here preaching to you. You should have heard that I'm in a protest somewhere. I'm in a club somewhere. You should have heard that I'm smoking somewhere, frustrated in life. But when men are cast down, you say there's a lifting up. There's a power in you to keep you. Those who are close to me, they know my battles. There's been a time when there was a gang up against me. They told ministers, don't invite him. They've done videos sent to different nations. Anywhere he enter, don't come. But the more we work strong, sir. The more we work strong. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is. No matter who you are, so long as you are in the world, you can't stop me. There's a power to sustain. The only way you can stop me is to enter into me and uproot Jesus and sit there. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Grace sustains you. Begging nobody, doing nothing in secret. Everything I'm telling you is all there is. Yet doing wonders by the Spirit. I'm telling you. Grace will sustain you. A business can have a challenge and you have a high blood pressure. Or you have a heart attack. No. The
there's something on your inside that stops it. You can't go down.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the sea waters. He restored my soul. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. He's a backup. He's a resuscitation. It's an ability on your inside that when you shall faint naturally, you are waxing strong. He said, have you not heard? Has it not been said to you that the everlasting God fainted not? Neither is he weary. But it's not just the only one there. He giveth power to the faint. Unto them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint, and the young men shall utterly fall. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord, they renew their strength. They renew. There's a technology of renewal. They mount up with wings like the eagles. When they run, they are not weary. When they walk, they don't pant. There's something on our inside. We are resuscitated. We are reinvigorated. We are charged up. It's a youth yearly belong. Building up yourself upon your most holy faith. There's a technology in grace that charges us up. That charges us up. My God, Karakone, Arika, Pakaya, Baragado, Satakabia, Marete. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. When men are cast down, we say there is a lifting up. Although the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard. He lifts up a standard. He said, gather together, you will scatter. Take counsel together, it will come to naught. Speak the word, it shall not stand. For our God is in our midst. Oh my Jesus. Our God, our God, our God. Our God, Lahila Paya, Erele Mamaro, Barakadera, Barakiata, Mante. Oh! Is there men gathered? They said, there's no hope for me. Is there but thou, oh Lord? You are a shield for me. My glory, the lifter up of my head. You will not allow my feet to be moved. Him that keepeth Israel, neither sleeps nor slumbers. Neither sleep nor slumber. My goodness, Kateria, Maragapagodia. Ow! Ow! Marupa, Kapaya, Mario Kepara Kapona, Sit down for a moment. It's Bible study. Please hear me. Christianity is not a religion. It's divinity expressed through humanity. God sits here, sir. He walks through me. Sarakira, Lagaronto, Staprekiro, Paragira, Stapta, Manta, Kapara, Tevek, Tetelilo, Stavak. When they thought they've gotten you, all that you have finished, then you show up in style. They see a new dimension. They see a new glory. They see a new realm. They see a new dispensation. I prophesy over you. The power for sustenance, it rests upon you now. Look at Joseph. His brother threw him into a pit. They took him out, sold him to slavery. In slavery, Potiphar's wife accused him of rape. He could not defend himself in anyone. They threw him to prison. Relax, sir. Why didn't he die of depression? Why didn't he give up? There's something in the guy. Even when he wants to give up, he can't. He can't. He goes to commit suicide. When he comes there, he now remembers that is an answer to a generation. He can't. He said, until the time that his word came. Oh, the word of the Lord tried him. He said, the king sent for to lose him.
even the ruler of the people. He made him lord of his house and keeper of his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure, to teach his senators wisdom. There was a glory ahead. When his brothers finally met him, he told them, "You meant it for evil." He said, "But God meant it for good. He sent me ahead to preserve a generation." What a way to send. I tell you, hear this. Nothing can break your spirit. There is a force within that sustains. Please sit down. The glory we see today, if we fainted yesterday, we wouldn't have seen it. Keep holding on. It's not your might that is keeping you. It's the grace of God. You will not fall by the wayside. Why do you think we live holy in a corrupt world like this? In a sinful generation like this? See, some of you don't know temptation. Wait until you rise a little. From money to the opposite sex to fame, it will tempt you every day, every second. The reason you will stand with integrity is because there is something at work on your inside. It's not this one. You are moving around where you say there's temptation. Travel a little. Go to Ethiopia. Go to India. Enter Europe. They will harass you. That's when you know what temptation. Supernatural dominion by grace. You will not faint. No matter how thick the night is, the morning will surely come. Dominion and greatness is prepared only for those who refuse to faint in the valley of adversity. Stand your ground. The capacity to stand is not from you, it's from God. He said it is God that worketh in us. Philippians 2:13. But to will and to do of his good pleasure. Sit down for a moment. Grace sustains. 2 Corinthians 12, from verse 7 to 9. It sustains. You are stronger than you think you are. It says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that was given me. It says, there was a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You don't know why every city Paul went to, they harassed him, they imprisoned him, they frustrated his ministry. It was a messenger of Satan. The guy had no rest in his ministry. If you are in prison and accused, to stand on the altar to preach, if God does not help you, you will go. You will pack from that city. But nothing moves him. Perfected on every side. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. But what did God say? And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Nothing will take you out. You must manifest in your generation. Number three. Aspect of the expression of grace is enablement. Philippians 2:13, I quoted already. He said, it is God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things, not by my might. He said, through Christ which strengthens me. 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul told us the source of his power. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I. He said, but the grace of God that is in me. How can you take Abuja? It's by grace. How can that business flourish? It's by grace. So when you are sent to a city, don't say, I don't have capacity. You do that. That's enablement. Two things you need. Grace and the instruction. Go. Take it and see what happens with you. There's no city too strong to swallow you. When I started traveling, they told me some cities are hard, some territories are hard. That's why grace was given. I'm not arguing that theology. But so long as grace comes, grace is the leveler. Grace is the equalizer. The ability of the Spirit. How can a territory be too hard for the God that created it? I'm telling you about divine ability. How did Philip take a city? Acts chapter 8, verse 5 to 8. How did Paul survive in the deep for a day and a half? 2 Corinthians 11:25. These guys were in prison. They prayed. A tremor hit the earth. In Acts 16:25-26, a tremor hit the earth. The foundation of the prison shook. Doors opened. Who told you can hold captive a man who carries grace? He knows what to do to stay. That's how they did wonders. How did the shadow of Peter heal the sick? Knowing the name of Jesus. Acts 5, verse 15. How? That's the excellency of grace. How did Paul survive snake bite? In Acts 28, verse 3 to 6. Enter the city. The moment they escape shipwreck. Oh, let's sit by the fire and catch some worm. A venomous snake fastened itself to him. He threw it into the fire. Okay, go and relax. If the snake can't kill me, are you the one to kill me? The people say, this is a terrible man. He escaped the water, but his face caught up with it. After a while, when they thought he would swell up, he didn't. They said, this is a god. And the next thing, they brought a challenge. The ruler of the city has a challenge. He came, laid hands on him. The guy stood up. The whole city was conquered. What should have been their end became a corner into greatness. That's how grace works. The things you have come to your end, no, it's a bend. It's the end of it. When you come, there's light by the right side. But if you give up, you think the end is darkness. No, it's not. It's a bend. There's light ray coming from this side. You just reach there and see the way grace will manipulate your path. Come on, celebrate God. Ale, 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 ale. Ale, 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 ale. You are one. Ale, 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 ale. Are you saturated? I have more here. pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute. Caro fare catina. Pray like a king, pray like a king. Dekevira, paragato, give commandments. Sasete, papinata, galakira, kambarato, zobefarina, mantaria, paragatina, Sakatone Pantele, Maragatigo, Santa Kiba, Santa Kiba, Santa Kiba. Ale, 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 ale,
from my spirit to my soul, until my voice re-echoes, you are worthy of my world. Worthy of my spirit, from my spirit to my soul, until my voice re-echoes, you are worthy of my world. Worthy. Ale, 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 ale. Ale, 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 ale. You are worthy.
Imagine, in the Old Testament, Isaiah knew, he said, I am the children that the Lord has given me. We are for signs. It wasn't God that told him. He knew. In your own case, Jesus himself said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And you think you will say, I prophesy over you. Step into your realm and reign of dominion. Give the Lord a shout. Now, before you sit down, tell yourself, my career will not fail. My ministry will not fail. My life will not fail. My calling will not fail. My purpose will not fail. My family will not fail. My business will not fail. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come on.
Is inside of me.
I have the way.
I have the way.
I have the way. The life of God is inside of me.
I have the way.
I have the way.
The Spirit of God
is inside of me.
Is inside of me.
The way, the way,
the way, the way,
the way,
the way,
the way,
the way,
the way. Give the Lord the song. Dominion is possible. But one of the channels that makes dominion possible is grace. Now, do you know what grace is? It's called the charisma of the Holy Ghost. That is, it's not just dominating. It's dominating in style. See, that's why somebody is sick. He said, come, lay hands. What has your hand? What business has your hand got to do with cancer? It is dominating in style. Somebody's dying. I'm finished. I'm finished. You say, relax. Cobra hastas, kevarakida and the ghostas. Zarakida pongro di hasta la bahadigis. Get up. And then you step back. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. And a sick person rises. Somebody's frustrated. My business is not working. It says, talk to the mountain. And you say, I decree, let your business move. And the whole market forces begins to work in his favor. His dominion is time. Somebody will dominate his time. Hey!
Inside me, Yahweh.
Yeah.
Your business closed up. They said you are finished. Let them watch. You will bounce back 7 times the power of the previous one. You lost a child. They said you are finished. Let them watch. You will not just give birth to twins. The destiny of one will be greater than 10 destinies of the ones you lost. I prophesy over you. Dominate by grace. Sit down for a moment. Can I have 15 more minutes? Can we do 15 minutes? Let me go classical now. I'll just quote scriptures and then we round up so that you get the complete gist. Praise God. So the aspect of the operation of grace is to save, is to sustain, and is to empower. Now, what is the underlying principle for the workings of grace? How does grace work? What are the principles that give justification to the operation of grace in your life? There are principles, and you must understand it, and you must be conscious of it. And there are 3 of them. Number one, first principle, you must know that God is with you. Because the idea of grace in itself is you functioning by an ability that is not yours. Superior to you, beyond your realm, working in you. And for that ability to work, you must know that God is with you. This is what the psalmist knew. Psalm 23, verse 4 and 5. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why am I going to dominate in the valley of death? Because God is with me. And that's why in the project of salvation, the first thing God brought to our consciousness is that God is with us. Matthew 1:23, it says, behold, the virgin shall give birth, and he shall call his name Emmanuel. Why? That means God is with us. God is with us. We must become conscious. You are not alone. You think you are alone, and that's why grace does not work. So even when you are trying to stay yourself, you are thinking it's you and you. You must understand that God is with you at all times. Now, when the Holy Ghost came, Jesus said, he shall live in you and with you forever. So you must be conscious that he's always there. He may not be tangible. He may not be visible. It doesn't mean he's not there. He's come to be with you forever. Know it. And hear this. He's not just coming to be around you. He's coming to labor with you. That's where the multiplier effect comes. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, Paul was speaking to the church in Corinth. And see the way God, Paul puts it. He said, for we are laborers together with God. And he said, you that we are laboring over, he said, you are God's husbandry, God's house. I'm laboring over you now, not by my abilities. The reason you are feeling charged, feeling full of faith, it's not just what I'm saying. It's what the Holy Ghost is doing with what I'm saying. So when you also step out to walk, you must be conscious that God is walking with you. That's why when I lay hands on the sick, I know they'll be healed. Because God also lays his hands. That's why when I talk, I know things happen. Because God walks through that voice. So he's not just come. He's a laborer with you. He said, we are laborers. See the mentality they have. If you are going out to win souls now, and you were going alone, there's a level of faith you have and enthusiasm. Now you look by your right and I show up and say, we are going together today. Suddenly you will feel, wow, today not today. That's because I came. Now imagine what happens if the Holy Ghost comes. But you are not conscious. You are conscious only of yourself. That's why you can't walk in grace. You must know that it's with you. 2 Corinthians 6:1. He said, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you. This is the mindset of this guy. How do you think, were they not crazy? They enter a city and they want to take the city. Unless, as they know, they didn't come alone. He said, we are workers together with him. We beseech you to receive, not the grace of God in vain. That means when you receive the grace of God, you too become conscious that he's working with you the way he's working with us. In Acts, or Mark now, 16, verse 20, after he commanded them to go, he said, and they went. And the Lord, walking with them,
confirming the words they spoke with signs and wonders. So when we speak, he confirms. That's the partnership. So the first underlining principle of grace is a consciousness that you are not alone. God is with you. And that's not all. He's not just with you. He is in you. If he was with you, all the support you receive would have been external. But the way he works is that he enters you and energizes you. So he's the one who energizes you and he's the one who confirms what you do. So you are too equipped to be a failure. In Philippians 2:13, it is God that worketh in us. In us. Both to will. So the desire to go and win souls, the desire to take nations, it didn't originate from you. The one in you is the one willing. And it doesn't just stop at willing. When he wills, he now gives the capacity to do. It is God that worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When next you feel led to lay hands on the sick, don't be afraid. That thought didn't originate from you. The one who originated that thought will perform it. When next you feel led to help the poor, start an organization. Don't be afraid. He's willing in you to perform. This is how grace works. They are the principles for the manifestations of grace. He is in you. This is why Paul spoke in Galatians or Colossians now, 1 verse 26. He said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. And he said, this is the mystery of the age. That means this age, the mystery that controls possibilities in this age is that no man who walks alone can prosper. Anybody who makes impact, a spirit must be in his inside. And he said, for us, Christ is that spirit. That's why Jesus was speaking. He said, of your own self, you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. Unless I am in you, you can't prosper. There's nobody prospering in this age that is not in partnership with the spirit. The mystery of this age is that spirits must possess men for men to have dominion. And for you who is a Christian, the Holy Ghost is that spirit. So you must be conscious that it's in you. That's why Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things, not by my might, by Christ which strengthens me. Ephesians 3:20, he said, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think, according to the power at work on your inside. So there is something going on your inside. And this is why, to walk in grace, you must master how to stare him. Because Jesus can be in your boat and you'll be asleep. And you will drown. You must learn to say, Master, Master, carest not thou that we perish. How do you say that? Through prayer. Through fasting, through worship, through receiving the word. When the rhema comes, it awakens that being in your spirit. This is why those who think grace is do nothing, they never see grace. Grace is not lasciviousness. Grace is not idleness. 1 Thessalonians 3:10 now, our 2 Thessalonians 3:10, check it for me. It said, there are those among them who say they will not walk. It said, if you don't walk, don't eat. Grace is not idleness. It's not lasciviousness. There's walk in grace. I labor more than they are. There are people who say, we are in the grace era, we do nothing. And they are dying in grace era. Because they don't know that because it's in you, there is a labor you must do to keep yourself stirred. So Jesus does not sleep in your boat. But when you stir yourself, you still know it's not you, it's him walking. So 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, we have this treasure in 18 verses, that the excellency might be of God, not of man. So I fasted, things happened. It's not the fasting that put the power. The fasting only stirred the power. I prayed, things happened. It's not the prayer. It's the finished works of Christ and the infilling of the Holy Ghost that brings the power. But I prayed to stir it. The apostles knew it. In Acts 4, when they were beaten and threatened, they were intimidated. The Bible said they went to their company. From verse 23, they lifted their voices and they prayed. When they were done praying, 29 said the place where they were was shaking. They were filled with the Spirit. Verse 33 said, with great power, God gave them witness of the resurrection of Jesus. And he said great grace was upon them. You stare to move from grace to great grace. To move from the infilling to the outflow of the power of the Spirit. So the second underlying principle is the awareness that is in you. And if it's in you, you must stare him through your revelation and consecrations. And number three, you must understand that you are complete in him. If he is in you, and if he is with you, it means you lack nothing. Most people who never manifest grace, they don't manifest grace because they are looking at what they think they lack. And they don't know that he being with them and in them completed them. Anybody who walks in grace must have the consciousness that he doesn't lack anything in Christ. Everything you lack, grace made up for it. You must know you are complete. Look at Colossians 2, 9 and 10. It says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily. So the fullness of God was in him. He now went to verse 10 and added you. It said, and you are complete in him. He is the head of all principalities and powers. But you are complete in him. I'm complete in God. Everything I lack, Christ made up for it. I don't lack wisdom, sir. 1 Corinthians 1:31, it says Christ is made unto us wisdom. I don't lack power. We preach Christ and him crucified. It says to the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Greek, foolishness. But to us who are being saved, Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:23-25, I don't lack anything. I'm complete in Christ. Did you read John 1:16? It said, for of his fullness you have received grace, heaped upon grace. If you think there is a reason why you can't heal the sick, that's the reason why you can't heal the sick. If you think there's a reason why you can't prosper, that's the reason why you can't prosper. If you think there's a reason why you can't take that city, that's the reason why you created that reason. Those of us who understand how grace works, we remove every reason that hinders our manifestation. I'm complete in Christ. It's a principle that must dominate your consciousness for you to function in the fullness. Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are his workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus unto every good work. I'm the manifestation of his architectural prowess. The greatest expression of God's ingenuity and creativity. Look at it standing here. Whatever man created is not compared to me. That's who we are. We are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. So I am wired and tailored to produce results. Dominion inclusive. I'm complete in Christ. Never look at your weaknesses. They don't exist. They are a mirage. They may look real, but they are not. Those of you who travel by road, often, in a sunny day, when you are driving, you look ahead of you, it looks like there's a water body. When you reach there, there's no water. It's called a mirage. That's what your infirmities are. When grace comes, it turns your infirmities to a mirage. Because the eyes of the Lord move to and fro the earth, looking for the weak so that he can manifest his strength. Grace came to complete us. So we are complete. If you know that he's with you, he is in you, and you are complete in him, dominion is your byproduct. They are the principles for the workings of grace. Have you not known, those of you who are ministers, the time you feel the weakest is when you have the greatest manifestation. It's not a call to laziness, but it's an awareness you must have for victory. I'm complete in him. Imagine the way the Bible postulates this truth. In John 8:12, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Him that follows me will not walk in darkness. He will have the light of life. And then the same Jesus comes, Matthew 5:13-15. He now says, you are the light of the world.
Lord, I thought you say you are the light of the world. As he is, so are you in this world. You are complete in him. Everything he is what you are made. So if nothing fails with Jesus, nothing fails with you. Because the ability in Christ that makes him prosper under all conditions is what he has put in you. You must be aware so that you can allow the fullness of grace manifest. Now, when these principles are there, then grace insists on certain credentials. There are requirements that grace insists on. When you have this principle begins to insist that certain requirements must be kept. And that's where I round up. I call them the requirements for the manifestation of grace. Number one is dependence on God. Nobody who manifests grace depends on himself. Philippians 3 verse 3, it says we are the circumcision. That's what? We are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. Nobody who manifests grace depends on his ability. The principle insists that you must depend on God. Jesus himself speaking in John 6:63, right? It is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. We have x-rayed humanity in the scales of balances. There's no value in them if they are in themselves. So you must have confidence in God, not in yourself. The moment you put your trust in yourself, God sees it as pride and he begins to resist you. James 4:7 says, God resists the proud, he giveth more grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5 verse 5, same scripture. He resists the proud, he gives grace to the humble. So those who manifest grace depend on God. Jesus, John 15:4-5. I am the vine, you are the branches. You can of yourself do nothing. You depend on me and see the excellency of my power. So the principle of grace insists. There's no day I come up here to preach that I won't stand there and say, Lord, help me. Anoint my tongue. Make me fresh. Grant me wisdom. When I speak, saturate the place with your presence. Let your power move. Never stand here depending on oratory. You trust him. You depend on him. Number two, grace insists that you must abide in Christ. Now, see the principle. He is with you. He is in you. You are complete in him. You must now use your will to abide in him. If you don't abide in him, you can't see grace at work. I quoted for you already, John 15:5. Of yourself, you do nothing. So you must abide in Christ. This is where consecration comes into grace. How do I abide in him? Through prayers. I call upon him. When himself was on earth, the Bible said, through supplication and much weeping, he put his faith in God that was able to judge all. You must stay in Christ by accepting the gospel, by consecrating in prayer, by consecrating in fasting, by consecrating in worship, and the grace will keep flowing like a tap. Most times, people who claim they understand grace, they suffer the most. We'll go check them. Nothing to prove. Transformation, zero. Manifestation, zero. They talk dead letters. Dead. You will never hear somebody who is healed of headache or tumor vanish or cripple walk. And when they talk, the sarcasm and the bitterness in their communication, the pride and the sense of we are the only one who know, show you that they are not transformed. Because they don't have consecration. No. Most of this so-called grace movement, you will never catch them praying. Never catch them fasting. Never catch them worshiping. They say it's work. It's work. It's work. And they don't know the meaning of works. The works that God negates is you trying to do something in the flesh to receive God's approval. It doesn't mean there's no works in grace. But when the Bible speaks against works, is you trying to do something to be justified by it. That's the works the Bible speaks against. But grace in itself is empowerment for works. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, I labor more than they all. He said, yet not I, it's the grace of God. So the grace empowers you to walk. He said, faith without works is dead. As the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So nobody who has grace, who does not follow it up with consecration. Grace will provoke you to prayer. Grace will provoke you to worship. It will provoke you to fasting. Because he knows that you must abide in Christ for you to produce results. So find anybody who is talking grace, not fasting, not praying, not worshiping, not giving. Run away. He doesn't know what he's doing. Because very soon you too will become lukewarm. Number three, you must depend on the Holy Ghost. And depending on the Holy Ghost, meaning it means walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Depend on the Spirit. Depend on the Spirit. Holy Ghost, have your way. Man takibara hatakostis. Not by my strength, by your strength. Not by my ability. And as you keep praying in the Spirit, acknowledging, affirming Him, the strength, you'll start feeling it. You start feeling it. And before you know, you soar into another dimension. So how do you depend on the Holy Ghost? I give you three quickly. Number one, by acknowledging what Christ did for you. That means you are accepting a new reality. Philemon 1 verse 6, that the communication of your faith will become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. And the righteousness of God, not because of what I've done, because of what Christ did. And then the Holy Ghost will come to make you become what Christ did. I heal the sick, not because I'm smart, because Christ has commissioned me to. Then the Holy Ghost comes to affirm it. So when you acknowledge what Christ said and did, the Holy Ghost comes to perform it because He is the witness. So you can't depend on the Spirit if you don't acknowledge what Christ said. Number two, how do you depend on the Spirit? By waiting on Him. They that wait upon the Lord, Isaiah 40:31, they renew their strength. They mount up with wings. That's when you enter the Spirit. They mount up. So if you don't wait, you won't mount up. When you acknowledge what Christ did, the Holy Ghost is under obligation by God to confirm it. Because He's the witness. So He fills you. When you wait on Him, He fills you. You mount up. That's how you depend on the Spirit. Wait on Him. And then number three, how do you depend on the Spirit? By staying spiritually minded. Don't let anything get you carnally minded. Some people are full of facts, full of reason. That's why the Spirit can't take over them. They say, we have not received the Spirit that is of this world. 1 Corinthians 2:12 to 14. But the Spirit that is of God. So we know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we speak, not with words that human wisdom teaches, but with words that the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So we know the Spirit we have received, and we commune of those things. It said to be carnally minded is death, Romans 8:6, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the Spirit takes over when you build spiritual mindedness. And this is why you come for fellowships like this. We are not talking football here. We are not talking business. We are talking God. So it builds your consciousness. You must stay spiritually conscious to be full of the Spirit. So, you want the Spirit to take over? That's what you do. And if I will add one more, talk to yourself in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual song. Make melody in your heart to the Lord. Ephesians 5:18 and 19. You want the Spirit to take over. You want to depend on the Spirit. Talk to yourself. Number five, how do you depend on the Spirit? Minister to the Lord. Acts 13 from verse 2. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work. How do you minister to the Lord? You adore him, you exalt him, you speak of his goodness, you declare what he has done. As you are doing that, the Holy Ghost fills you. As you are talking to yourself in Psalms, he fills you. As you are waiting on him, he fills you. That's how you depend on the Spirit. As you acknowledge what Christ has done, he fills you. This is the practice of the Christian life. The reason you find many Christians not making impact is because although they come to church, they don't do these things. You hardly find Christians who sit down to acknowledge what Jesus has done and to affirm it in their lives. You hardly see Christians who just step aside and say they are waiting on the Lord, pray in tongues and be there quiet. You hardly find Christians who set out time just to honor the Lord, to adore him, to minister to the Lord. That's why you find dry Christians. You hardly find a Christian speaking psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. They don't know it. They only come to church and go back. That's why the things we preach here look to them like drama. You can be filled with the Spirit. These are the channels. Acknowledge what Jesus has done. Wait on the Lord. Speak to yourself in psalms, in hymns and spiritual songs. Minister to the Lord. You'll be filled. And grace will walk in your life. Because all of that is God depending on the Spirit. You will start walking in the Spirit. You'll start walking in the Spirit. If you say you are in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Finally, the requirements of grace is thanksgiving. If you stay thankful, the Holy Ghost will keep filling you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. The Bible told us to always give thanks. He said, this is the will of God concerning you, even your sanctification. The same way God wants you sanctified is how he wants you to still give thanks, to keep giving thanks. In all things, give thanks. This is the will of God concerning you. Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice always. And I say unto you, rejoice. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing. In all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that surpasses knowledge will guard it in your heart. Give thanks. You will be full and you will walk in grace and exercise dominion. Look at Jesus. John 11:40. He was at the graveside. Who gives thanks at the grave? Only a man who knows how grace works. Thank you, Father, for you always hear me. Lazarus, comfort. So the audacity had a revelation. He wasn't just being passionate. Have I not told you? If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Now, how do I activate the glory of God? Thank you, Father, because you always hear me. Lazarus, he was too sure. This thing can't fail. In John 6:11, 5,000 men, not counting women and children. He had only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Father, thank you. Take, give them. Bread began to multiply. You want to see grace? Stay thankful. Some of us substitute thanksgiving for lamentation, complaints, and murmuring. So we trigger the anger of God. You can exercise dominion. The grace of God is at work in your life. The only thing you shouldn't do is, number one, don't rely on yourself. Grace negates it. We have the circumcision. Philippians 3, verse 3. Now worship God in the Spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. Number two, the only thing you must not do is not to try to earn the grace of God. It's a free gift. It's the gift of God. You can't earn it. You can only stay it. If you want to fast to have grace, you want to pray to have grace, you are joking. Grow in knowledge and you will grow in grace. It was already gifted you. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 calls it the free gift of God. It says, not of works, so that no man can glory. So don't rely on yourself. Don't try to earn it. And then, because you are not trying to earn it, don't be lascivious either.
You must labor by grace. Grace does not stop you from laboring. And then number five. Grace is not all about answers. That you pray that the person is not healed does not mean grace saved. That's why I told you the goal of grace is for the Lordship of Christ to be revealed. Many people who have grace can't handle failure. The moment it appears as if it didn't work, they get offended. That it did not work does not mean God is not faithful. It's either there's something you don't know, or that answer that didn't come is it part of the economy of God's wisdom to work a superior purpose. So, although you are in grace, you must know that grace is not all about result. So these are four things you must not do. Don't rely on yourself. Don't try to earn it. Be able to keep believing in God, even if there's no answer. And you'll see grace working in your life. Walking and walking in supernatural effort. And then don't be lascivious. Can we pray? Dominion through grace. Are you ready to dominate? Do you have God's grace? Yes. Grace is a person. His name is Jesus. Grace is a reality. It manifests through mercy, through unmerited favor, and through the ability of God. And grace is a dispensation. We are in that dispensation. So you too can exercise dominion. Lift your hands and thank Him for grace. Thank Him. Hear me. As you walk out of this place, and this includes everyone who are following online, who will get to listen to this message and accept this truth, nothing shall be impossible to you. Through Christ, you are strengthened for exploits in the name of Jesus. And if there's anything making a mockery of your faith, be it sickness, be it stagnation, be it failure, be it torment, be it demons, in the name of Jesus, I command their powers broken over your life. Step into your dominion now. As for you, let it be said, it's from glory to glory. It's from grace to grace. It's from power to power. In the name of Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a big hand. Celebrate that someone is going to take over. By the grace of God, you are what you are. By the grace of God, you are what you are. You shall not be judged by your gender. You shall not be judged by your age. You shall not be judged by your race. You are what you are by the grace of God. Come on!